These are tense times right now in Kenya, where almost 2 weeks after a presidential election, some people are still looking for a resolution. Opposition candidate Raila Odinga has claimed an elaborate rigging scheme, and he is challenging results in the Supreme Court. Even his citizens are still coming to terms with the violence that followed the declaration that the president had won re-election. Here's more from NPR's Eder Peralta.
Almost immediately when incumbent President Uhuru Kenyatta is announced the winner, opposition supporters in Kibera, one of Nairobi's biggest slums, take to the streets. There is too much gunfire to get close, so all I see is demonstrators running across the street in front of me, and security forces unloading their weapons. It's not until the sun rises that I can move past police lines to find out what happened. Rafael Indieka says that men battled police all night. The demonstrators had rocks, and he saw police shoot two men.
Right now, a lot of tear gas is there, and guys are just running up and down. Even people are, some of the people are dead now.
And just as we talk, the guys around me hear a pop, and we run.
Let's go with you.
We end up behind the walls of a private compound. The guards there take me almost immediately to meet 19-year-old Brian Otieno. They let him inside because he was hurt. Police, he says, beat him up on his way to work.
There were more than three. They were beating me only. They defended me only in the road.
His head is swollen, blood dripping down his temples. He has a deep gash in his right hand. He's a painter, he says, and he's worried his working hand is damaged. It doesn't take long before the men start moving toward police again, and it doesn't take long before it turns into a firefight.
No life, not a single life, should be lost in the name of election.
Jadida Warohio of the government's Human Rights Commission says that was the promise police had made. Kenya was intent on not reliving the past, when elections have left hundreds of people dead. But Warohio's commission found that in one day of violence, about 24 Kenyans were killed by police.
For me, it tells me that the culture of violence that we continue to mete out on each other is not a good culture, and it's not sustainable. It's a recipe for disaster.
At first, police denied they had killed anyone. But a few days later, President Kenyatta came on television to call for police to exercise restraint. That same day, police do move out of Mathari, another one of Nairobi's huge slums, and it allows for opposition supporters to stone their neighbors' houses. It leaves Fatuma Abdi breathless, waiting for police to protect her property.
How do they know we elected Raila? We supported Raila or Uhuru? So, President Uhuru, you should bring peace to Mathare Area 3.
But just a few blocks away, I'm guided to an apartment building, up some stairs and onto a balcony where 10-year-old Stephanie Mora was killed by a bullet. Her mother is still holding on to her bloody dress. Her aunt, Lucy Marube, is clutching a picture. It shows Stephanie in a green dress, looking sassy with pink shades. Stephanie was a fourth grader, a jovial kid, she says, who had no reason to die at the hands of police. Across town in Kibera, Jane Anyango calls a meeting of women. She was stuck in her house for 2 days, she says, her 13-year-old boy choking on tear gas.
It is not a joke. It is not a joke when you can't protect your children in your home. It is not a joke when you see your people being killed like animals. It is not.
She says she fears what's to come after the Supreme Court hands down its verdict in the next 2 weeks. But what she fears the most is not being able to teach her son to love his country. Eder Peralta, NPR News, Nairobi.